So this is part two of my little discussion here on Apple innovation and, well, I guess portable device innovation in general. So in part one, I have sort of alluded to maybe the fact that people aren't jumping on the next thing in Apple because, A, maybe they're perfectly happy with the devices they have and they serve their function. And yes, there might be a few little things, you know, little idiosyncrasies, but overall, they do what they're supposed to do. And perhaps, yes, perhaps there is an iota of the fact that Apple hasn't really come out with anything so mind-blowing that people are willing to jump and spend the extra cash. Perhaps there's some of that. But I think most of it is just the fact that people are perfectly happy and I think we might be coming to the end of an era where people were just jumping to the next thing just because, well, it was the next thing. And I think the next time people are going to do that, it's going to have to be something very innovative. Now, the GUI looks really cool in iOS 7. I think this is because the next evolution in Apple products will be towards a more transparency, more simplification of user interfaces. And I see that coming for maybe OS X as well. And who knows, it might be called OS 11 soon, where they make a huge jump, a huge leap, and perhaps the interface will be more translucent, almost if you wish, you know, like you see some sci-fi movies sometimes where people are just making hand gestures in the air and things just seem to appear out of nowhere. I think that's where Apple's going next. In other words, eventually integrating technology right into our environment. And that's what I was alluding to with Google Glass. In other words, that the technology becomes completely transparent and will be integrated, not necessarily into our own bodies, although that may come in the far-flung future, but really it will be integrated into our environment and be part of us and not be a device or something we necessarily have to hold. It might just be part of our environment. It could be speech recognition, sort of like Siri. And in other words, we won't need to hold a device. The device will be the environment in which we're in. So I can see one day where perhaps an Apple device will no longer be a device. It'll be almost like a service. And so you'll walk, you know, you'll step into your car and your Apple, I'm using Apple as an example, but your Apple environment, your digital environment will come with you. So the device in your car will be able to integrate with Apple services or whatever. Same thing, you get to your office, it's the same exact thing. You know, you'll be able to log into your computer, and if you're using an Apple product, well, then it'll just tie in automatically, whereas maybe eventually, although I doubt it because Apple does sell hardware, but I could see a time maybe in the future where any hardware will tie into some of these services. So you might have like a Siri-like service either given by Apple or perhaps provided by a third party, in which, again, you don't interact with a machine, you're interacting with your environment. So whatever you need, you'll have. Your devices will know what you're doing and then will act accordingly. I mean, this is how I'm looking at the future of user interfaces. I think as we go further and further on, user interfaces will become more and more of what we do naturally. Gestures, voice, audible, visual, and will not be so much something tactile that you absolutely have to touch. That would be innovative. And I go back to Google Glass, which intrigues me quite a bit. And I didn't sign up for the demo stuff, but I would have loved to. I would have loved to get my hands on a pair of Google Glass and just see how it works. Of course, I wear glasses, so it'd be kind of hard to integrate, unfortunately. But I'd be just curious. And yeah, I guess that's about it. I really don't have much more to say. I gave it some thought, but I sort of come to a barrier and say, okay, well, what's next? You know, what would make me want to make that leap? And in my case, I tend to buy used stuff, used devices, and I just don't have the money. And also, it's just my philosophy that, you know, instead of having somebody throw something in, you know, into landfill, well, give it to me. I'll give it a home. I'll give it a use for a lot while longer. I'm not the type to just change for change's sake. I guess the only other thing I wanted to add, I don't have much time here, but I wanted to mention, speaking of, not so much technology, but it's kind of weird. I'm going to do another audio boo dedicated solely to this to explain it a little bit further, but about 6 months ago, if not longer, I came across an article on the internet on how to build a parabolic dish for about $5. A parabolic microphone for about $5. And when I looked at it, I said, what a brilliant idea. Whoever came up with this was just using his noggin. It basically consists of a paint roller. Now listen up, okay? A paint roller. And one of these novelty umbrella hats that they sometimes sell at fairs and here in North America, especially in Canada, there's a dollar store chain that sells these things once a year for either Canada Day or Saint Jean Baptiste. Usually Canada Day though, because at Canada Day we have parades and stuff, and people go out in the sun, so it'd be kind of neat to wear this novelty umbrella hat, parasol thing that goes on your head. They're very uncomfortable, and they're, like I said, it's a novelty. But this fellow, what he did is, he was ingenious. He used the umbrella portion of this novelty hat as the parabolic dish, if you want, and using the paint roller as the handle. Now, I'm going to do another audio boo on this at some point because I also have to test this. Now, I bought the paint roller, I bought this hat because I found them. It's almost going to be Canada Day in a few weeks. So it's the dollar store chain had them. Came across them yesterday completely by accident. I was looking for something else. And so I paid $1.25 for the hat and $1.25 for the paint roller handle. So for the large sum of $2.50 and a little bit of work to put it together, and now I have the basis of a parabolic microphone. Now, will it work? I don't know. I have no idea. So the next step will be to get a microphone to sit in the fulcrum, not the fulcrum, the focus of this sort of semi-parabolic microphone dish thing made out of this novelty head parasol. Whew, that was long. The original article called for an electret microphone to be placed right at the focus. So I'm going to try just strapping my H4 right at the focus point, or close to the focus point, and seeing what it picks up, if anything. So I may try that. I may go out this afternoon and do some experimentation and see what I can do. And then post that as an audio boo probably later on tonight or tomorrow. I'll see. But expect one coming up with a little more where I elaborate a little bit more. And I'll even post a picture of this contraption. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.